I want to ask you a question, though. Are you a mature Christian? I want you to think on that. Are you a mature Christian? I think most people would say, well, yes, I am. I've been going to church for 40 years. I grew up in the church. My granddaddy's name is on the pew at the church. Sure, I'm mature. How could I not be? I've went to church all my life. I said, are you a mature Christian? Well, most people say, yeah, I am. How do you know? What do you base that on? What do you base whether you are a mature Christian or not on? Well, I go to church every week. Well, I pay my tithes. I feed my pastor chicken. I just thought I'd throw that one in there for good measure. It's a special place in heaven for all the people that make pastors chicken. I don't know if you know that. I'm still searching for that in Scripture, but I believe it's in there somewhere. How do you know whether you're a mature Christian or not? I'm going to help you with that today because you have issues. This particular issue will tell you whether you're a mature Christian or not. What causes more issues in the world than any other thing? What in the world is it that causes more issues than any other thing? What causes the greatest issues in the church? 99.99999% of them are caused by this issue. There will not be an award for anybody who guesses right. If you come tonight, you can see me in my ugly Christmas suit. That's your reward. Listen, the Scripture says this in James chapter 3, verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many ways. But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. He's able to bridle his whole body as well. This word perfect here, see, we put our English slant on that. It's not talking about one who never makes mistakes. It's talking about one who's mature. What does a mature believer look like? A mature believer has control of their tongue. And because they have control of their tongue, they can control their whole body. Because when you can control what you say, you can control your whole life. A mature believer is one who knows how to handle their tongue. Can you be quiet when every fiber of your being is saying, ooh, hi-ya! When you're going through the drive-thru at McDonald's and they got your order wrong for the 14th time this week, can you go? When decisions are made from your leadership at your job or in your church, can you go? The indication of maturity is how can I control my tongue? That's what the Word says. We got issues. Some of us got issues with this thing that flaps up and down in our mouth. And I don't care how good you can sing. I don't care how good you can preach. I don't care if you can raise the dead. You will always have issues, and you will not be a mature person in the body of Christ unless you can control your tongue. The one who knows when to speak and when to shut up is the one who walks in maturity. So now I wonder if I ask the question again, how many that said yes earlier want to change their vote? The one who can control their tongue. The ability to control our tongue indicates our maturity level. I want to show you some more things before I get into the meat of this about just this portion of Scripture about your tongue. So number one, being able to handle your tongue determines your level of maturity. It shows how mature you are. The next thing is it determines direction. James 3:3 says this, now if we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body. How do you direct the horse's entire body? By its mouth. You control its mouth, you control it. No matter how powerful it is, you can control it if you control its mouth, because you can turn its head. It'll turn in the direction of where its mouth goes.
Right. Amen.
You're going in the direction of your mouth today.
That's right.
Look at ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. So we see then that our tongue determines our direction. What you're saying is what you're moving toward. You move toward what you speak. James, starting in chapter 3, verse 5 again. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Your words cause fires.
Yeah.
For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. Now, don't use this as an excuse for you to keep flapping your jaw. Don't misinterpret this. No man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Ghost can. That's one of the benefits of you praying in the Spirit. You're allowing the Spirit to control your tongue, so when it comes time to cuss the person at the drive-thru, you'll find that you're able to shut up because you've been using your tongue in a righteous, holy way. So, the tongue can set things on fire. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, now here's the issue. This is a big issue right here. Here's one of our issues. With our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fish, produce fresh? See, here's what we have. We're seeing here that I'm blessing God on Sunday morning and cursing men at the same time, I'm not walking in maturity. Because if you really see what was said here, God was saying, you bless God, you curse men, but God made men. So when you curse men, you're actually cursing God.
Yes.
Are you a mature Christian? Do you have issues? Now watch this. One of my favorite portions of Scripture, the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, 5 and 6. It says the Lord came down to see the city. Do you know that something was going on in Babel that made God come down? God nudged the folks up in heaven and said, hey guys, something going down here in this city. We've got to go down and check it out. What was that? What got God's attention? The Lord came down to see the city. I'd like for the Lord to come down and see our city. If we had matured and know how to use our tongue, we might get His attention. But as long as we're using our tongue in the wrong way, our tongue's either getting God's attention or the devil's attention. We're either releasing good spirits or bad spirits, depending on what we say and how we speak. But it says, the Lord said, behold, the people are one and they all have one language. They're all saying the same thing. They're all speaking the same way. And God said, nothing will be restrained from them that they imagine to do. One of my favorite, most amazing scriptures in the Bible. God said, if I don't change what they're saying, if they keep saying the same thing, I won't even be able to stop them. So I've got to get them to do something with their tongue. Because if they keep their tongue functioning correctly, nothing that they want to do can be withheld from them. You better think about that. And your enemy also knows that if a church could ever get all of the tongues in it correct, if we could ever get all the tongues saying the same thing instead of you complaining about what you like and what you don't like, if we could raise up a culture where every day people are saying, the Lord has placed us in Bluefield to transform this city, not to have a church, but to transform a city and a region. If we could ever get that, God said nothing that we ascribe to do will be withheld from us. So we see here that God said if they used their tongue correctly, nothing will be held back from them. So the key to accomplishing anything is to walk in unity. He said nothing will be a restraint. But then when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we hear this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't let there be any division among you. He told you how. He's speaking to a local church body here. Speak. I charge you to speak the same thing so that there be no division among you. So here is the deal. Nothing is restrained from a group of people who walk in unity. If any two on earth agree as touching any one thing that they shall ask, it shall not be denied them. It shall be done. So anybody who walks in unity, a group of people in unity, can accomplish anything. But the key to maintaining unity is this tongue. Unity always breaks down with the tongue. Always. Everything can be going peachy between you and your husband or you and your wife. But you will start to complain to someone else about your spouse. When you do, you're breaking down unity. A church can be growing and thriving and the Lord using it tremendously. And all it takes is Sister Bertha or Brother Bucketmouth to start using that tongue about what they don't like. See, I'm trying to get us to see where our maturity level lies. When you begin to speak with your tongue something different than the vision of your home, of your business, or your church, you now have two visions, which is division. Mm-hmm. See, I'm convinced that if we took the vision of the house, which I shared here a few weeks ago, and everybody began to speak that every day, you might not like everything that goes on, you might not like all the methods, but if you begin to speak that, it'll happen. But the minute that you use your mouth, in your job, your marriage, or your church, to not speak the same thing. I grew up in church. I've had roast pastor about as much as I've had roast chicken. For years in my life, there was a gathering place after Sunday night service. And the whole point was for me to prove that I knew more than the guy I was supposed to be submitted to. And the Lord called me to plant a church, and I figured out. Leaders always know things you don't know. They got a picture you don't have. Number one, God doesn't communicate vision to you. He communicates to the leader. So I've had years and years of using this thing in my mouth. But I knew God. I was getting prophetic. I heard God. No, I was an immature person in the body of Christ. If I really had heard God, God shared it with me to go pray about, not to tell my neighbor. See, there's a determining factor of maturity. When God speaks something to you, do you have to speak it to someone else, or can you just go and pray about it? Get right up off your knees and speed dial. You know what God told me. I better move fast. I'll never get through this. Unity breaks down with the tongue. You got that? So it's not okay in your marriage, in your business, anywhere you are, in any circle that you're in. It is important what you say. And I want you to understand that. When you begin to speak negativity, you're actually beginning to... Let me give you this example. Let me give you the scripture before I go there. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Another scripture that you know, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I want you to understand that. death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I believe that because we don't understand this, we actually destroy things that we love. Because we don't realize the magnitude of our words. What I'm trying to get you to see is, what you say, everything you say, is either releasing death or life. If I understood that, and I think sometimes we use our words and think we're just having conversation, but when in reality we're releasing death, and sometimes we're releasing death on the thing that we love, our own home.
Yep.
That man of mine, I'm telling you the truth, he's the sorry. I'll stop there. That woman of mine, I tell you the truth, she's the biggest nag. She gets on my nerves so bad. What am I doing? Speaking death.
Yeah.
And see, sometimes when we don't understand the power of our words, we are destroying something that we even love. And I've seen this. I've been in church all my life. And we keep talking. And I'm convinced when we do that, it's what I heard the Holy Spirit, you know, what I felt like the Lord showed me. Termites. Your words are caused to begin to happen what termites would do to a facility. You're tearing away, you're eating away at the foundation that you're speaking about. Whether it's your church, whether it's your home, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your workplace. Lord knows in the workplace so many of us talk about it. I mean, we just constantly curse our workplace. Dude, I've had a paycheck, and I've not had a paycheck. A paycheck's better.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know it's true. Bad mouth in that place. Bad mouth in it while you go cash the check and deposit it in your account. Baby, what if it's not there?
Right.
Hello? Are you a mature Christian? Do you have issues? You are either strengthening or weakening everything in your life with your words. And the thing about it is, one thing amazes me is we say stuff over and over and over, and then we act like we're surprised when it happens. You've been saying it for years. What are you saying over your child? What are you saying over your spouse? What are you saying over your church? What are you saying over your nation? What are you saying over your leaders? And then act shocked when you get it. According to your faith, be it unto you. We got issues. You're either strengthening or weakening everything. I mean everything. Your relationships, your marriage, your church. And I believe many times we're destroying things that really mean a lot to us, and we're shocked when they're destroyed and don't realize how the role that we had to play in it. You understand that? So I want to show you today 7 negative uses of your tongue. We have issues with our tongue. And I'm going to show you 7 different issues. So if we want to walk in unity and we want to see God's blessing come to pass in our lives, I think we've got to start dealing with these issues. Number one, and you're going to say, I don't have that one. On this first one, you're going to say, well, at least there's one I don't have. But aren't you sure? The first negative use of the tongue is lying. Proverbs 12:22 says this, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Well, preacher, I already told you I go to church. already told you I'm a mature Christian. I would never lie. Because after all, in Sunday school, they taught me, thou shalt not lie. Well, I believe that if we go back and we look last week at insecurity, I'm going to tell you something. Insecurity will make a liar out of you. Insecurity will make a liar out of you. So number one, negative use of the tongue. There are seven kinds of tongues I want to talk to you about. Number one's a lying tongue. But there are four forms of lying, according to Scripture. You may be doing one of these. You may not be blatantly lying, which is one of them. But number one, four forms of lying, flattery. Flattery, what is flattery? What is flattery? See, I've learned, and I've said this for years, flattery is the choice tool of a manipulator. Flattery is the number one weapon in the arsenal of Jezebel. And somebody comes into your church or your life with an agenda. And what they do to you is flatter you. You are the best singer I have ever heard in my life. Run, duck, go. And see, some people come in with an agenda and they believe that they can tell you you're great and get right into your life. And unfortunately, 90% of the time they're correct because you have insecurity issues. But when you come and flatter me, you went to the bottom of my list. Because flattery is a way to manipulate. And here's the reason. Flattery is actually an insincere compliment given with a dishonest motive. What makes it flattery is you're telling them that to get something from them. You have a motive. So if you just met me 5 minutes ago and you tell me that I'm the greatest preacher in the world, a big red flag goes up to me and I know I don't trust this one at all. Because there's a motive behind that. Do you do that? Psalm 12, 2 and 3, they speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. Do you hear that? So, flattery. Number two, exaggeration. You know what that is? That's stretching the truth. You know what happens to you? And see, I believe the church has got a real problem with this. The glory of the Lord was in our service last night. Really? I mean, I don't see anywhere that the glory of the Lord showed up and they had to announce it.
Yeah, right.
People found out.
Yeah.
But you see this a lot in the church. Thousands of people are coming to Jesus. Glory to God. I just gave you what you see on your TV. And you got to have the right tone of voice. Glory to God. The Lord is using us to win souls all around the world. Thousands, baby. Thousands in one meeting. Because I am God's gift to preaching. Thousands. And I can't continue to go reach some thousands without the thousands in your pocket. So if you give me your thousands, fire!
That's for y'all who saw Vic's post. I had to do that for y'all. Y'all know when you wanted it.
There's fire up in here. Exaggeration. I've done that a time or two. It's once or twice. Then you got half truth. Telling half the truth is not walking in integrity. Lord, I've done that one a lot. Not recently, okay? I'm saved now. Then you got a blatant lie. Most of us are pretty good on that one. I don't know about that. I better rethink that. I think I'm bringing into it. Blatant lie. So the first tongue is a lying tongue. The second tongue, and this one loves churches, it's called a divisive tongue. Divisive. Division. A tongue that divides. The divisive tongue speaks words that threaten the unity of a relationship or an organization. You should repent now because you're guilty. You thought you were just talking to your neighbor. No, you weren't. What you were actually doing was destroying the strength of that relationship or that organization. It's quiet again. I like how the Spirit comes. Seems like I've been getting that a lot lately. Are you hearing me? Do you know what the number one ministry of Satan is? Division. I believe that Satan has a counterfeit for everything God has. God has a ministry called intercession. The enemy has a ministry called division, accusation. So with my words, I'm either participating in the ministry of God or the ministry of Satan. I mean, think about that now. Who's anointing you walking under? When you begin to use your words to divide, and please understand your words do divide. Well, I feel like it's okay to share my opinion. Your opinion is bringing death. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It didn't say, blessed are the troublemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It said, blessed are the peacemakers. How do you make peace with this thing in your mouth? The best way to keep peace is to say it out loud. Shut up! You already see, the Scripture says, where the gossip shuts up, where the talebearer closes their mouth, the fire goes out. So, we've got a divisive tongue. Have you ever been used your tongue in that way? Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, even which are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who others lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Yes. The Lord hates a person who spreads strife. How do you spread strife? I've never seen strife start like this in my life. Have you ever seen strife start that way?
Yeah.
It only starts right here. It only takes one match to burn a whole forest.
Yeah.
It only takes one thing coming out of this tongue to set on fire something. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Let's look at it this way. You know, every church split started with one sentence statement.
Yeah.
Every one of them. Every one of them. Somebody said one thing. And then somebody else came along and added a little gasoline to the fire. And the next thing you know, the enemy stole the will of God over that entire thing. Where did it start? Right here. And God hates using a tongue to bring division. Then I know no one in here does this. But next we have a gossiping tongue. Can I just help you? Why don't you be honest today and get free? Because if you start your conversation with me, I'm not trying to talk about anybody, but you're wrong. You're sinning. When you start your sentence with, I'm not trying to talk about anybody, no, you're not trying to because you're doing it. You don't have to try. You're just doing it.
Right. Right.
Just coming natural for you. Because you got issues. Do you know the Holy Spirit tells us when to shut our mouth, but we ignore Him?
Yeah.
When you make the statement, well, I'm not trying to talk about anybody, but, well, that's the Holy Spirit already telling you, shut up, knucklehead. Because something inside of you knows you shouldn't be doing it. That's kind of like doing a half. This little deal here, that's what you're doing. I'm not trying to talk about anybody. That's the equivalent of this. And then you go sin anyway. But you covered yourself. No gossips in here.
Hey.
But you want to understand something about gossip? What is gossip? If you talk about somebody else to someone before you talk to them, you're a gossip.
Yep, good word.
If you have a disagreement with me and I find out second or third, you are a gossip.
Yep.
If you don't like something and you've told 14 people before I find it out, you're a gossip. Mm-hmm. You're tearing down the things around you. Are you hearing me? We got issues. Well, I'm not going to that church anymore. They try to control what I say. They're trying to control me. I said, if you tell somebody else, next week's message, we'll get on this a little bit. If you done told somebody else before you told the person you have an issue with, you are a gossip. And not only that, you're a murderer.
Yep.
Hello. Using life and death are in the power of the tongue. Do you know I can murder somebody and never even meet them?
Yeah.
I can murder somebody in your eyes and you've never met them.
Yeah.
I see it all the time. Because people walk up and say, hey man, you know that Sean Boone? Yeah, I know him. Let me tell you something. Now, she's never met Sean. She doesn't know him. She's heard good things about him. She's thinking about going to his church. Are you a mature Christian? I really want her to come to my church. You know me, but you know that I don't want everybody coming to my church. But anyway, I do want you to come. Anyway, so when she says that, I can say, man, let me tell you what I heard about that Sean Boone.
Yeah.
I heard he's got three women on the side. This is not truth, by the way. I heard he likes to fish better than he likes to go to church. I heard he fishes more than he prays. What have I just done? I've murdered him.
Yeah.
Now he can never gain influence in her life.
Yeah.
What are you doing to your pastor and your leaders? What are you doing, really? Somebody may be at the point of their life is going down the wrong road. And you use your mouth to assassinate and murder someone in their life that the Lord could have used to help them, but now you've destroyed them. And now the person that could have helped them can't help them because you murdered them. You murdered their influence. I should have used somebody besides Sean. These things are not true. If you tell somebody else before you deal with the person you have an issue with, you're a gossip. And I don't care how many times you say, well, I'm not trying to talk about them, but You ever notice how that usually goes? I'm not trying to talk about them, but they suck. Nothing good ever comes after that statement. Nothing. Oh, Lord. Folks, I really would. Somebody's mad. JP don't like what I'm saying. I honestly do. I believe we could see a mogul caught if we could raise up a people who know how to handle their tongue.
Yes, amen.
I really do. And you have to understand, gossip includes both hearers and bearers. If you entertain it and you listen to it, you're fueling it. I would love to raise up a group of people that when somebody comes to talk to you about your brother, as soon as they get it out of their mouth, you say, no. Do this with me. Say, no.
No.
You have permission to do that. Because the minute you let them go, the enemy's going to come in your mind and they're going to tell you something. And you're going to say, come to think of it, I've seen them do that. Y'all laughing too much. Are you hearing me? I wish the Holy Spirit could just do a work in us all if we realize how much danger and what we're doing when we do these things. I really wish we could get this revelation. We sing about it, we talk about it, we preach about it. We are the body of Christ. I've never got up in my life and looked down at my feet when I got up and said, you stupid toad. You don't have a clue what you are. The sorriest piece of... Why would I not do that? Because all 5,000 body parts, even those ones that y'all are going to laugh, private joke, I know what you're thinking, some of you. But anyway, even those parts... They're part of me. If we could get the realization, then if we're really understanding that we're the body of Christ, when I talk about Ron, I'm talking about me.
Yes.
What makes you think you can separate yourself from who you're talking about? We're either the body of Christ or we're not.
That's right.
So when you talk about your neighbor, you're talking about you. And it's called the body of Christ, so you better get right now. Because if I'm talking about the body, I'm talking about Him. So when you talk about your neighbor, you're talking about your God.
That's right.
When you pick a fight with your neighbor, you're picking a fight with God.
Absolutely.
And then you wonder why the blessing doesn't flow in your life. Because this flapper right here is saying wrong things. You got issues. Next, we got this one right here. These two right here, we could have revival if we got them cut out. I know you work on teeth, man. Can you cut out tongues? Is tongues part of the deal? Maybe you can numb them. You got some of that numbing stuff you can give me so when they come in and they get ready to talk, they just go, Next is a criticizing tongue. Criticizing is sin. And you're automatically put in a position of pride when you criticize people because you're putting yourself above them. You think they know, you know more than they know.
Yeah.
When you criticize leaders, you're actually operating in pride. Now you know this portion of Scripture. I'm not going to read this for the sake of time. But if you read Numbers chapter 12, 1 through 15, you find here, I'll read a few of them. It says, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? I need to come back and preach this one. Yeah. Do you know what they were doing? They're being critical of their leadership. Well, I just don't like the decision they made. I think we should already be in the church at Brushville. My elders there at Father's house, they think they're the only ones that can hear God. That's what they said. They began to criticize the decision of a leader, and then they said, "Is he the only one? Does he think he's the only one that can hear God? He wasn't the only one that could hear God, but he was the one that God chose to speak to. You better ponder on that one for a while. I love you. Criticizing is sin. So what did we find that happened here? What did God do? God, number one, got angry. When you criticize God's people, he gets angry. He's not always in a good mood, said Jeremiah Johnson. He gets angry when you talk about his people. When you criticize his leaders, that's the first thing that happened. They spoke against leadership, and God got angry. And the next thing he did is he put them out of the camp. He got rid of them. He kicked her out of the camp for 7 days. And only by the intercession of Moses, I believe, did he let her back in at all. What am I trying to tell you? There's so many messages here. God, a critical spirit does not belong in the camp. I wonder if we excommunicated all those who criticize in the house, on the job, in our marriage, how many of us would be left? Hear a country song right now. Save me, Lord. Get it all out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The critical spirit made God mad, but it caused them to be excommunicated from the camp. Critical spirit is dangerous. And what you have to understand is a critical attitude can isolate you from your relationships. You got anybody in your life that criticizes you all the time? But what in the world are they doing still in your life? I mean, think about what I'm telling you. Can't do nothing right. They're always criticizing you. I'm not hanging around them kind of people. In trouble with this message, I feel it. Honestly, see, we said this last week. What you tolerate, you endorse.
Yeah.
What you tolerate, you're saying, keep doing it to me. Well, God wouldn't tolerate criticism of his leaders in his house. So what makes us think we can do it? It's quiet. Critical tongue. I know you've been delivered from that. I hope you can see yourself in some of these places, because I'm not beating you up. I said we have issues. Then the next one we got, this one just drives me crazy, is a complaining tongue. I hate complaining probably more than anything on planet Earth. I feel the spirit of smack come all over me. I feel the grace of smack complainers. A complaining tongue pulls down the atmosphere, just absolutely sucks the life right out of the air. When you, what are you really doing when you complain? Reality is you're not trusting God when you complain. Scripture says all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, are called according to his purpose. So when I complain, what I'm actually doing is proving I don't trust God. I hate this job I got. That's the sorriest boss I've ever had in my life. I'm going to be stuck at this job forever. I hate it, but at least it pays my bills. Be stuck here forever. you know you're speaking whether you have faith or not. What's coming out your mouth when you complain is actually lack of faith, because you really don't believe God's got you and God can move you into something better. Complaining is a sign that you don't really have faith that God's taking care of you. Why do I feel like I'm in a quiet church today? You know I love you, right? This is my, I'm talking about me. I have issues. You have issues. If I got them, you got to have them. Because I ain't having them by myself. Because we are the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, that's an interesting point. Who in here is reading the book Kryptonite? Killing Kryptonite. It's a big revelation in that book. And in all honesty, that's part of it. If I did it, you did it. It's the body of Christ. Complaining is contagious. Now, what am I trying to say to you? See, I think sometimes we have not, most people have not been used to being around strong leadership. Because strong leadership will not tolerate criticizing, nor will it tolerate complaining. Because both are contagious. And sometimes in order to protect the entire vision and the entire unit, you have to cut out what's wrong. Now see, we've not been taught this.
Church was just supposed to receive everybody.
No. There's a body here. There's a work. There's a vision. When you get something that's functioning wrong in your body, you diagnose it, and then if it will not come into alignment, you cut it out.
That's right.
You go to the doctor and you get it cut out.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a healthy body, you're going to cut out some things. Right?
Yeah.
What did God do when Miriam criticized? Got rid of her, kicked her out. Nobody's on the list today, all right, y'all? Nobody's on the kick-out list. I'm just trying to get you to understand the level of leadership and the seriousness of some of these issues. If y'all need to be kicked out, Sean will tell you. Hear my Lord, send Sean. Complaining is contagious. Never complain to someone who cannot make a difference. Are you hearing me? I'm going to teach you a real important leadership principle. Once you become a leader, you cannot complain to your followers. Because they will no longer have confidence in you.
Yeah.
I don't care if you hate everybody you're leading. You pick up the phone and talk to another leader. You do not talk to your followers, because the minute you do, it's over for you. It's free. You didn't even have to take the John Maxwell course to get that one. Now I don't even know what I was going to say. Yeah, I do too. Always, if you got a complaint, you go up with it. You don't go down, and you don't do it on your same level, because they can't do anything about it. And when you complain up, they may not do anything about it either. They'll listen. But you have to trust them, but you'll feel better probably. But don't complain on your same level, nor complain to people who can't fix your problem. When you do, you're getting into something that's going to drain all the life right out of you. Just a couple more. Y'all okay? Do you know a negative use of the tongue can be a silent tongue?
Yeah.
It's wrong to keep silent when you need to speak up. Ooh, here's another one. Y'all like it. I hear what Joy said, and that's true. That's where I'm coming from here. But if you see injustice and don't deal with it, look what the scripture says. Let me show you the scripture. This is talking about you allowing things to go on and not speaking into are not trying to help. Proverbs 31:8-9 says this: open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth and judge righteously and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Well, let's just do this right here. I don't really care much about the abortion fight. I'll just keep on praising the Lord, and I'll leave that to other people. Oh, how I love you. There's a time to be silent, but there's a time to speak. And a silent tongue, when it shouldn't be speaking, is also negative use of the tongue. Now let me show you another way that a silent tongue can be used negatively. I got a problem with Ron. So when Ron comes around, I just go.
Yeah.
This one really works best in marriage, though. That's why this one works well. I really want to kill you.
So when you talk to me, I'm going to go.
You can use a silent tongue to manipulate.
Oh, yeah.
I can manipulate you and never say a word. And insecure people do this a lot. All I've got to do is ignore you. You know it's true. If somebody ignores you, it gets all over your nerves. And what they want to do, see, I'm trying to get you. Let's go back to insecurity. Some insecure people do this. Because they really need you to come up and tell them they're awesome. So they'll give you the silent treatment, baiting you in. Because the insecurity in them really wants you to come and tell them how awesome they are. I think some people have tried that for me and they just gave up. Are you hearing me? You can use silence to manipulate. So a silent tongue can be used negatively in both those ways. And then we've got, the last one is a retaliating tongue. Been there, done that, expert, it's in my blood, comes natural for me. Are you hearing me? Can hack you up and make you wish you were dead if you weren't. Some of this is in all our blood as a Southern West Virginia people. But the more we become like Christ, the more I find myself not retaliating. And I find myself, when you begin to grow in maturity, Lord, I hate to say it, but it's true. You know, sometimes I get excited now when people talk bad about me. Because I know if I keep my mouth shut, blessings come.
Yeah.
So I don't run around swatting every fly and trying to put out every voice. When you talk about me, you're hindering your blessing and giving me one.
Right.
I don't have to retaliate with my tongue. I think it's really hard for us to get a retaliating tongue. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Some of us done gave so many pieces we don't have any left. We're out of our mind. So if you quit giving everybody a piece of your mind, you might have some left. A retaliating tongue. 1 Peter 3:9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. How you you know you got humility. Thank you, Lord. It says to be humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Wow. Could it be that I'm blocking God's blessing in my life because of a retaliating tongue? I have found this to be true. If someone is speaking against me and I retaliate, I take it out of God's hands. But if I be quiet and put it in His hands, it's a lot better and harder on them for them to deal with Him than it would ever be me.
Yeah.
The best thing I can do for you or somebody that's having an issue with me is cuss them out. That's the best thing I can do for them. Because if I shut up and put it in the court of heaven, it'll be a lot worse. And I want you to understand that you don't have to retaliate with your tongue. Your daddy's got you. I've been saying this for a week now. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy's going to bust your daddy up. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
So I'm going to give you a chance this morning, just like we did last week. I'm not going to bring you up and cast anything out. But I want to give you a moment. I want to give you some time to repent. If you've been using your tongue in any of these negative ways, let me give you a couple of good pointers. How can you use, what's some of the most positive uses of the tongue that you can have? Now see, lots of times I know that I come across as mean, tough, jerk, all the above my hatred, I don't know. But what you don't see is, I promise you, these things I'm getting ready to show you, I practice as a lifestyle. May spank you like crazy, but these things I do. How can you use your tongue in a positive way? Number one, say I love you.
Yeah.
See, that's why I kick you and then say I love you. I say I love you before I kick you and after. Say I love you. Do you ever, out of the blue, just means more when it's out of the blue. I'm supposed to tell you I love you when you're in church. I shake your hand on the way out the door. But what about it's when on Tuesday and life is sucking really bad, and you don't halfway know if you're saved, and you're feeling like nobody loves you, and all of a sudden you get a text, I just want to tell you today I love you for no reason. That builds loyalty, builds strong relationships. It's a positive use of the tongue. The next way you can use it positively, I dare you to practice this week. I'm sorry. I'd like to have a dollar bill for every time I say I'm sorry. You can look at that two ways. That must mean I'm that messed up. But I'm going to say it. Because I'm sorry has the ability to release life into people. Oh man, you want to tell you something that's very powerful, and I'm finishing. Don't get in a hurry. You're going to come back and party tonight anyway. See, one of my things I love to teach leaders. Yeah, Lord, thank you for bringing this back to my attention. I've been in management for years, hired people, fired people, managed salespeople. And I'll never forget, you know, trying to show Jesus, be like Jesus. And I had one of my sales reps, and man, I blasted him real good. And then later on that night, or sometime the next morning or something, I walked up to him and said, hey man, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. Do you know that this gentleman went and told other people, guys, let me tell you what happened to me. My leader came to me and said two words, I'm sorry. What I'm trying to teach you is there's great power when you are see, a lot of people that are in authority would never go to someone, quote, following them and say, I'm sorry. Folks, that brings great life to people. When you are a leader and you're willing to say, I'm sorry. Very important point. But I'm sorry is always good. The next one, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Make a lifestyle out of saying that. And see, when you're in the ministry, you better especially make a lifestyle out of it. Because the greatest leaders in the world are in the church. You know why? Because y'all don't have to come. I've had people, and I've not had people. People is a whole lot better. But see, you got to learn it's important to appreciate them. Because that you don't have to be here this morning. You can be in church somewhere else. Now, I mean, I know that I say things that make you, because I want a mature church. But never mistake the fact that I appreciate you. Because I had a lot of years without you. It's more fun with you. And so we never take it for granted, but get in the habit of saying, I appreciate you. And another good one is, I support you. So I want to encourage you to find this week, I want you to develop a lifestyle of saying, I love you, I'm sorry, I appreciate you, and I support you.